You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor at St. Mary of the Woods, Chicago Northwest Side, and today's a special edition of Catholic Schools Today. And we are taking phone calls here at 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979 here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM on this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. They're talking a beautiful week for the rest of the week, and we are going to be spending the first half hour with Father Charles Bolzer, who is the school president of St. Martin de Porres High School in Waukegan, and St. Martin de Porres is celebrating their first graduating class in their brief history. And Father Charles Bolzer, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Now, Father Charles, briefly tell us, this would be, as I mentioned, the first graduating class or the first class that went 4 full years at St. Martin de Porres High School. And let our listeners know, what is the history of the high school and why did it begin in the Waukegan area?
Well, first we came from the Cristo Rey model, and that Cristo Rey model was started in Filson 11 years ago. And it was a move here that was started by now Bishop George Rassus and a number of people from the Lake Forest area to develop a Catholic high school in the Waukegan, North Chicago area. It really was very poorly served, especially for those who were low income, who could not afford a typical Catholic high school. And so they found the Cristo Rey model. They liked very much what it provided, and they began to dream and to build from that point on.
Now, even before you get into what has happened the last several years at St. Martin de Porres, let our listeners know, when you talk about the Cristo Rey model, what are you talking about?
Well, there's a couple of things that are very unique. Number one, if you can afford to come here, we cannot accept you.
Okay, that's a different slant.
It certainly is. It's really for those who are marginalized, economically especially. The second thing is that every student, freshman through senior, works one day a week and 5 days a month. They work in a corporate environment at a number of our corporations in the area. So every day of the week, 25% of our students are gone. They're spending the day in places like Baxter or Hewitt and a number of other corporations, banks, hospitals, government offices, a wide variety of white-collar internship programs that are available.
Now, they're being paid for this, correct?
They are not getting paid for it. The income comes to the school to offset the cost of education. And it's like the school actually becomes a hiring agency. And so these students are part-time employees working for the school, but that money provides income to help pay the cost of operations.
So the thing is now, when you have students doing this various work, will every student be working one day a week, 5 days a month?
Correct.
And so it's a way to kind of defray their tuition cost. Now, are they working in an area that they happen to like? So, for example, a junior who says, I want to get into banking, so they're being put into a banking situation, or does the job they do not necessarily connect with what they are interested in?
Well, we try to work that way as much as we can. Many of our students have no idea what they want to do.
Well, because they're young. They're freshmen, sophomores in high school.
But they have found, I think, opportunities in the work position to help them determine what they wanted to do. As an example, a young lady here who has graduated yesterday was working for the state's attorney's office. Now she's going to go to college to learn how to get a degree in law. And her goal right now is to do just that.
So it's very interesting. I know that when I was at Niles College Seminary of Loyola University studying for the priesthood, during my senior year, or between junior and senior year, I did an internship at WGN Television, Channel 9, in radio and television. As an intern, was paid very little, but received the experience, and the money I did receive went toward the seminary tuition. But now you're doing this more on a high school level, and for a lot of these young people, they end up doing something that they, as you say, move on into for a career.
Absolutely. The college prep curriculum, it's a basic college core curriculum that we offer. And we encourage our students to think about college someplace. But the work experience is so positive for them that they learn so much working with adults, working in a mixed environment that challenges them and demands accountability and it demands responsibility. And it's a great maturation process as well as providing the income.
The thing is, we are taking phone calls here on Catholic Schools Today. Our number is 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. A question you may have for Father Charles Bolzer, the school president of St. Martin de Porres High School in Waukegan, that really, having had your first graduation, was the graduation held yesterday, Father Charles?
Yes, it was. It was held at Immaculate Conception Church here in Waukegan at 2 in the afternoon. We had a fine turnout and a very fine program for the students.
And how many kids in the first graduating class?
13.
Had 13 in the graduating class, and how many in the school presently?
Presently, we have 165. We're looking at about 225 this coming year.
And then how many will be in the graduating class in June of 2008?
45, theoretically.
And the thing is...
That's our hope, anyway.
Now, the 13 that graduated yesterday...
Yep.
Any particular story that comes to you about any one of them, about why they came to the high school, what their experience was, any stories that you can reflect upon yesterday's graduation, or just knowing this particular class?
Well, this particular class, first of all, it was a very small class. They knew each other very well, and there was a strong sense of bonding and leadership that they had developed as a class for the school. And I heard them tell stories yesterday. You know, one of the girls was telling a story about her mother and how her mother had died several years ago. And she was an inspiration to her to aspire to college, to aspire to achieving possibilities in her life that she didn't know existed, but always to maintain that that drive, that spirit, I guess just a strong sense of responsibility to herself and to the community. And so I saw these kids, you know, I watched them grow, and I watched them mature, and they have a sense of maturity that a lot of high school kids simply don't understand.
And the thing is now, for all these young people, let's say the class of 2007, something I want to go back to from the very beginning, if you can afford to come to this high school, we don't want you.
We can't accept you. Yeah.
We can't accept you. So really, these are young people that are only there because economically the families are hurting, and then they are then allowed to come into the high school, but not so much the trade-off is, but they are then doing work in the community as a way to defray the tuition cost. So you're dealing with young people who learn at an early age the importance of responsibility.
Absolutely.
We're going to go to break here, Father Charles Bolzer.
Sure.
You're listening to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. Our phone number is 312-751-1979. And we are taking phone calls, and stay with us. We'll continue our discussion with Father Charles Bolzer, school president of St. Martin de Porres High School. Stay with us, and do not touch that dial.
choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life. Welcome to Mission Chicago 2007 as we celebrate the theme of spirituality. Evening missions are taking place throughout the Archdiocese in both English and Spanish. Spirituality themes include the meaning of being created in the image and likeness of God, exploring our potential for growth in Christ, and the spirituality of African American music and song. These are single evening missions, and there is no cost. Find out when and where by going to www.missionchicago.net. That's www.missionchicago.net. It's Mission Chicago 2007, the year of spirituality. Accept this mission. The rewards are everlasting.
Good morning. Welcome back to Catholic School Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz on Relevant Radio, 820 AM here in Chicago. Our phone number is 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979, maybe a call into Father Charles Bolzer regarding the whole crystal ray model on this beautiful Monday morning here in Chicago. And Father Charles, before the break we were talking about the graduation class of 2007, the first one from St. Martin de Porres High School in Waukegan, 13 graduates and of course growing. One thing I was going to ask you is, with the 13 students, can you name some of the colleges, universities, these young people are choosing to go to in the fall?
I can do that. University of Dayton, Loyola University, several are going to the College of Lake County, Eastern Illinois, Lake Forest College, Edward Waters College in Lakeland, Florida, Carthage College, and the University of Illinois, Chicago.
Now, did you have all that memorized, or is that in front of you?
Oh, it's in front of me.
That's quite impressive. It's like me pulling out baseball statistics off the top of my head. So that was good. And let's go to the other end.
Sure.
And that is, you have the freshman class beginning in the fall, which is
right.
A class then of 2011.
Correct.
What numbers are you looking at come fall?
We're looking for 100 entering students. We should have around 45 juniors, about 40-some sophomore. Next year's sophomore class will be approximately 60.
Mm-hmm.
The juniors will be about 45, and the seniors will be about 48.
So then now, what is your capacity at St. Martin de Porres?
Well, at the present time, we're looking at the possibility of 300 students. Without any major growth or development, we'll be locked in at that number. We have a goal of 400, between 400 and 500 down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But for every four students we accept, we have to have a job. We have to have a corporate partner.
Now, hold on. For every four students you accept,
mm-hmm.
you must have a corporation that will sponsor
those four students.
Okay. Okay, so just not a matter of taking students.
Correct.
And again, as you mentioned in the early part of the program, you have different businesses within the community area that are, in a sense, hiring these young people.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, now, what are some of the stories you get from the young people who come back to you about the job they're doing? I mean, do they love it? Do they hate it?
It's a very positive response. One of the things that I find is interesting is that they feel they're being treated with respect and trust, that they're given jobs of responsibility, they're encouraged to ask questions, But then they're allowed to do the job, and they're treated like adults. They go to lunch with everybody else. They have their regular breaks during the day. It's just like they're a regular employee. And yet many of our sponsors take a personal interest in these young people. They encourage them to look at college. They encourage them to look at careers. And they really mentor them, but at the same time they give them responsibility and they have high expectations.
What's really interesting is, as you're talking, it makes me reflect upon my own life, that when I was finishing my sophomore year at Notre Dame High School mm-hmm. in Niles, the first job I had was at a 7-Eleven store in Park Ridge mm-hmm. over on Devon and Talcott. And Rick Serlinus and his wife Jerry owned the 7-Eleven. They hired me. You know, Father Charles, I can honestly say that job at 7-Eleven so helped me in terms of confidence, being with public, you know, mm-hmm. dealing behind the counter, stocking shelves. And there's when you're actually doing it as a high school person, you think it's just a job, and you reflect upon your life and say, boy, that was an incredible experience from God that really helped who I am today.
You're so right.
You know, in terms of confidence, being with the public, mm-hmm. working with people, put a few dollars at that time in my pocket, and it makes such a difference. Now, one thing I want to do before we go into our next break, and that is when we talk about the Cristo Rey model,
right.
And we talk about a model that we have high school and grammar school, people say, I can't afford to send my child to a Catholic school, it's right. too expensive. We're dealing with a model here that really gets at that issue.
Very much so. It was started by Father John Foley, a Jesuit, in the Jesuit community in Pilsen area. It's spread across the country. There are 12 schools today across the country from coast to coast. There will be 19 this fall. And it's a growing phenomenon, and it's something that people see as extremely positive and necessary. It goes back to the roots of Catholic education. Catholic education originally was for the poor, for the immigrants, for those that are coming into our country and struggling, and that's what we're about today.
And maybe go back to the whole thing of with the Cristo Rey model is, you mentioned that for every 4 students that enter into the high school, there has to be a company or corporation that is sponsoring those children.
Correct.
Do you find it difficult to get companies and corporations on board to be part of the whole Cristo Rey and model?
We find that once they understand what we're trying to do, they're sometimes tentative, and they will try it. They say, we'll give it a shot. But the following thing that we found is that the following year, sometimes, most of the time, next year, can we have 2 jobs? How about 4? We have places today with 4 students a day. They have 2 students a day. They're adding on is what they're doing. They want to be part of it, and they want to be part of it in a big way because they see the mutual benefit.
Now, what I'm going to do is we're going to go to the phone lines here on Catholic Schools Today. And Susan, welcome to the program. I have a feeling that I just stole your thunder with your question. Susan, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Yes, your discussion has really answered the question that I had, which was about the logistics and opportunities for placement, especially as your school population grows, the students. But, you know, I also was thinking here, I wanted to mention that I am involved right now with a parochial school, and I'm on the church council of the church that supports that school. And there's continued talk about, we have to raise tuition, let's raise tuition. And that just goes against my feeling on the value of a Christian education. I feel we should be dropping tuition so that more students will be able to come. And it's wonderful to hear the ministry that you're doing through your school, and I just want to thank you for that.
Well, Susan, thank you very much for that phone call and, you know, the great work that you are doing. And maybe Father Charles to respond to Susan, but thank you for that great call, Susan. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you. There's another program that started in another way. It's called the San Miguel program, and it's similar. It's on a middle school level. But I truly believe in what was being said. How do we provide this Catholic education for those with very limited means? And it's very difficult. I've been involved in Catholic high school work for over 30 years, from Springfield, Illinois, to Las Vegas, Nevada, to Arlington Heights. And it's more and more difficult financially to keep these schools open. And so they become more and more the schools for the upper middle class.
And I think that is a real issue. Father Charles Bolzer, who is president, school president of St. Martin de Porres High School in Waukegan. We are going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz. Our phone number is 312-751-1979 here on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago. Time is 9:20 on this beautiful Monday morning. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
It has been a rewarding, often hectic, and definitely a memorable few weeks for Francis Cardinal George as he celebrates 10 years as Archbishop of Chicago. We had cameras at the various anniversary events, and during the next half hour, we'll bring you the highlights of how this milestone was really a celebration of the Catholic faith here in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Knapp, weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago. Time is 9:22 on this Monday morning. Our guest is Father Charles Bolzer, the school president of St. Martin de Porres High School in Waukegan. And they just celebrated their first graduation class, first four-year class, 2007, up in Waukegan. And Father Charles, maybe more on a personal note, why do you continue to do what you're doing in Catholic school education? I mean, you could be doing other ministries as a priest, and I'm sure you've had days in which you've said, why am I doing what I'm doing with other ministries? But what gets you out of bed in the morning to do what you've been doing with Catholic schools for over 30 years?
That's a great question, and you're right. There are days when I'm sitting here saying, why am I doing this?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I love it. It's been part of my existence for a long time. I belong to the Clerics of St. Vitor, the Viatorians, and we've been staffing and working in schools for over 150 years. And I believe in what we're doing. I believe Catholic education is critical. I don't think Catholic education should be restricted just to one economic level. However, it should be available to all. And I think part of what I'm trying to do, I see these young people struggling, and I see this school struggling to survive. And I've got a long experience as a high school administrator and teacher, and I think I can bring something to this program and help it continue to grow. And I want to do that.
What year were you ordained, Father Charles?
I was ordained in 63.
Okay, I was ordained in 79, so you got me by a couple of years. And you sound a lot younger than that on the radio.
These kids keep me young, I'll tell you that.
And what's interesting is that as you look at the short history, the brief history of St. Martin de Porres High School, mm-hmm. using the Cristo Rey model, you've been...
Let me back up again. I said 63. I meant 73.
Oh, you ordained in 73?
73.
Okay, then you got me by 6 years. Well, you're very young.
Well, I'm really not as young as it sounds. I was what they call, in those days, I was at a delayed vocation.
Okay.
Today is kind of typical.
And that I think it sounds like you're far from retirement because we need great priests like you. But in the short history of St. Martin de Porres High School, you've been there since the beginning. What have been some of the main obstacles you have faced to get to the point where you are today?
I think the two interrelated. One is the knowledge of what we're about, what our real mission is, because people hear Catholic school and they have an image. Number two is finance, and it will continue to be finance. To find the funding necessary to put together a true high-quality core college, core curriculum within the Catholic environment. And funding will always be an issue. We don't have an alumni base. We don't have an alumni parent base. We have no natural parish base. And so we're asking people to help us, and this is true throughout the network, who really have no direct connection to us. And so while we ask the corporate partners to help us financially, they do, thank you very much, but it's really struggling to get the word out as to what or who we are and what our needs are. And now, to ask people to respond.
Now, these young people who are part of the high school today who just graduated or coming into the fall, the class of 2011, and all in between, what are some of the areas they are coming from?
They come primarily from the North Chicago, Waukegan area, and some from Zion, and a couple of other smaller towns in the area. They're really part of our neighborhood, part of our community. It reflects, our population here reflects well the population of North Chicago, Waukegan.
So you really don't have boundaries because you have enough from just the neighborhood area.
Correct.
Now, when you deal with this whole Cristo Rey model that you've referred to, Father Charles, do you find this as really the wave into the future for the whole Archdiocese of Chicago or good parts of it, both on a high school and grammar school level?
I know that they're talking now about a third school in the area, in the Austin area. And so that is now being discussed and planned. I'm not sure it's going to be a wave. I think it will become a strong component of a total educational program. I think that there's a need for this particular component to be there that would fit in with all the rest of the components. I would hate to have this be the only way that we could provide Catholic education to the Archdiocese. As much as I would hate to have the schools like Loyola and St. Viator and Ignatius be the only way.
Well, I really find fascinating is, again, your comment in the very beginning is, if a young person can afford to come into the high school, then we don't want you.
Well, it's not that we don't want
you. We don't want you, but we can't take you, which is so contrary to when you think of Catholic education. You know, I've said before to Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, who'll be here any minute. I've said it at priest gatherings. With the way Catholic education is going, we are pricing ourselves out of existence.
Right.
We're becoming a school of the elite.
Right.
And we have to be careful of that. But we're going to bring this first half hour to a close and to Father Charles Bolzer, the school president of St. Martin de Porres High School in Waukegan. Father Charles, I want to say thank you for joining us here on Catholic School today, this first half hour. God bless you. Keep up the great work, and I hope you get a little rest this summer.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And God bless to our listeners. Stay with us. We will take a break, come back after a short break, and stay with us and do not touch that dial. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz here on Catholic Schools Today, Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago. Time is 9:31 on this gorgeous Monday morning here in Chicago. And joining us for a short segment is Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, who is superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Father. How are you today?
Doing very well, and catch your breath. I know you've come from already a couple of meetings. You're here for about 10, 15 minutes and off to more meetings, but I know that you have some great news to share with us. What has happened for the first time in 45 years in the Archdiocese of Chicago?
Well, it is. It's a remarkable thing that we've been able to achieve this year, and that is that we are not going to be closing any elementary schools for this year, as we approach next year. And that is the first time in 45 years. Now, we're not talking about secondary schools, but we're talking about elementary schools. And we have gone through a lot of years here, a number of years, where we've been closing a considerable number of schools, 10, 12. I think 2 years ago was 18, last year it was 2, and this year we were able to get it down to 1. So it takes a lot of work to do that, a lot of good people who have put their minds to it.
And now, right now in the Archdiocese of Chicago, both in Cook and Lake Counties, I think we have 217 grammar schools.
That's correct.
In the Archdiocese.
Right.
Now, I don't mean to jar your memory or with statistics, but what was the high number of Catholic schools in the Archdiocese, I presume back like in the 50s or 60s?
It was 1964, and I believe it was a little bit over 500. And that included 99 high schools and, you know, around 410 elementary schools, something like that.
We were actually at 500 plus in the mid-60s.
That's correct.
Wow.
And we had at that time 366,000 students. So we've made quite a significant adjustment over the years. There's around 250 schools, less schools now, and about 276,000 less students.
So we're talking in from the mid-60s, a high point watershed mark of 366,000 grammar school, high school, young people. And what was it this past year?
98,230, I think it was this past year.
Wow.
And, yeah. I'd have to add, though, that this is a trend that's affected the whole nation, and so it is not just something unique to Chicago. But all the dioceses are making adjustments. It's particularly hitting the Rust Belt, so to speak, the industrial north, where you had some real pockets of Catholics that have gone out to the suburbs, and as a result, you know, we had to make a lot of adjustments in terms of how we have schools located, where they're located, and how we have them financed, et cetera. So it's quite a thing. Now, I'd have to say that this, too, this not closing any elementary schools for next year does come with a price tag. We have to find additional resources. And I have to give a lot of credit to Cardinal George for taking this position, because he wanted to change the psyche of the people in the Archdiocese that were a school system that's continually closing. But at the same time, it does come with a price tag. And so we have some challenges facing us next year in terms of trying to raise the necessary funds to support those inner city schools. And that is something that the church should do, because we are called to be able to have a Catholic school in every part of the Archdiocese, not just those areas that can afford it. And so we have to learn more about how to share our resources. And so we have some challenges next year, and those challenges will continue to increase as we go down the years.
So you're making it very clear to all our listeners here on Catholic Schools Today. We are taking phone calls in the few minutes we have with Dr. Wilsonovich, 312-751-1979. You're making it very clear to say that, okay, we are closing no schools at this moment, but you are not saying that the other or all 217 schools are doing fabulous with no concerns into the future, but somehow a lot of work needs to be done to keep these schools open.
Well, that's correct. The Archdiocese, in order to keep some of the most financially needy schools open, we have to give out $10.2 million next year in assistance. We get some assistance from Big Shoulders, but the Archdiocese bears the greatest fruit for that burden. Financial responsibility, and I would say it's probably going to be somewhere around $8.5 million next year. So that's how we are sharing the resources of the whole Archdiocese to help those schools in the inner city. And I think it's very important to note that this all comes out of Genesis, in a sense, that we're saying we need to give schools what we call transitional grants to help them get up on their feet and get their act together in terms of school viability. And that's why we're pushing so hard these school boards, boards of specified jurisdiction, so that these schools will bring into its board, onto its board, folks who are able to exercise their stewardship in terms of time, talent, and treasure, so that they become more viable from the local level and not have to be so dependent upon the archdiocesan.
Now, Nick, maybe, excuse me, just for our listeners that may be unaware, what is the Genesis program?
Yeah, the Genesis issue or program is it's a strategic plan for the Catholic schools. We call it Genesis, a new beginning for Catholic schools. And part of that new beginning is going from boards which are advisory only to boards that are what we call have limited jurisdiction or specified jurisdiction. There's a significant difference there. And the significant difference is that we are saying that these board members now, boards of specified jurisdiction, have a greater responsibility and sense of ownership for the success of that Catholic school. And the whole idea is that when you bring people on board and give them that kind of responsibility, they then become part of the solution of the challenges facing the Catholic school, and they really have to step forward. And it becomes very incumbent upon lay people to help the pastors, you know, accomplish the mission of Catholic school education.
I think part of it is there was a time in our history in the Archdiocese where, for some people, they said, well, downtown can take care of it. Always it was downtown will take care of the deficit. And really saying today, that's not the case.
Well, it isn't the case long term. Now, certainly next year we're increasing the amount of money, but as you go down 2, 3, 4 years, the Archdiocese cannot continually increase their what we call operating grants by $1 million, $2 million as we're doing for next year. There is a limit to that. And that's where the local level has to really kick in. And you know how I have really strongly encouraged our parishes to practice stewardship. For the spiritual point of view first, it's all a spiritual approach to how you live your life, but certainly the finances are part of that. And the parishes need more money to do all the wonderful things that the gospel calls us to do, and Catholic schools is one of them.
Yeah. Now, if you look at from another perspective, you can say, okay, back in 1964, 366,000 grammar school, high school students in the Archdiocese, 500-plus grammar school high school institutions, and now today 217 and 98,000 students. So someone could say, oh, you know, how terrible, how awful. On the other hand, there's a very positive side to that. We're talking almost 100,000 young people being provided a tremendous education, a faith-based education. And I guess I come from a background, Nick, that says if we can help one individual in our life, that's a blessing from God.
Absolutely. And our schools are so much better now than they were in the past in terms of the curriculum, in terms of the technology, in terms of some of the social awareness kinds of things that we need to make sure our kids are aware of. So yes, for those kids that are in our Catholic schools, we're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. It is truly a blessing, not only because of the academic record, but also because of the spiritual development and faith formation that we're able to do in a Catholic school. And you know so well, you have a Catholic school, and you can see that happening every day.
Well, the thing is, you know, as a priest in the Archdiocese, I love the fact that I'm connected with a Catholic grammar school. To see these children coming to school, I got to be honest with you, it connects with my own history of Mary Sheet of Wisdom as a boy, class of 67. In fact, I graduated grammar school 40 years ago last week, so boy, do I feel old. And Notre Dame, so I had a Catholic grammar school, high school, and say I was blessed with a Catholic grammar school, high school education before the seminary. And now to provide that for other young people, but somehow we have to all be in this together. Nick, we're going to have to bring this segment to a close. We'll let you get back to the next meeting. We want to thank in a very special way Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Nick, thank you for joining us on Catholic Schools Today. Stay with us. Our number is 312-751-1979. Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago. Time coming up on 941. Stay with us and do not touch that dial.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwood. Time is 9:42 on a beautiful, gorgeous Monday morning here in Chicago. Our phone number is 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. And joining us this last 20 minutes on our program this morning, Paul Weiser, the director of the Anti-Defamation League's Braun Holocaust Institute. And there's a program called Bearing Witness. It's high school faculty from the Archdiocese who participate in this three-day program June 11th, 12th, and 13th, so starting today, that provides Catholic school educators with the training and resources necessary to teach about the historical relationship between Jewish and Catholic communities and the impact of that relationship on Catholic teaching, catechesis, and liturgy. Paul, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And maybe for our listeners, as a director of the Anti-Defamation League's Braun Holocaust Institute, say something about that for our listeners that may not have ever heard that before.
Right. Well, the Braun Institute is just one of the many many different offices that the ADL has relative to anti-bias education. And the name really sort of speaks for itself. Anything related to Holocaust education is under the purview of the Braun Holocaust Institute. So you mentioned the program, the Bearing Witness program. That's just one of the things that we do. There are many other educational programs for adults as well as, for example, high school students, college students that are run through that organization. We have a program known as the National Youth Mission, the Bearing Witness Advance Program, which we might want to speak of later, where we're in back of actually a month from today, we'll be taking Catholic school teachers to Israel for advanced courses of study. So there are many, many different initiatives, but anything relative to study of the Shoah will come through me in our office.
Well, the thing is now, Paul, when you deal with the word Holocaust, talk about an incredible history, horrific, you know, the memories. And so the whole purpose of the Bearing Witness program, which is that joint Jewish-Catholic get together that actually begins today, where is it being held?
It's here in Mundelein in the seminary.
Oh, sure, Mundelein Seminary in the private CDM building.
That's right.
And it, I hear the bells in the background.
The bells are in fact. I'm actually outside taking the calls. There's better reception.
I was going to say because I was when you were talking, I was hearing birds. I thought, geez, do you also raise birds on the side? And I hear bells. And saying, okay, now guess your location. So well, I had 4 marvelous years at Mundelein Seminary. The grounds are beautiful.
Aren't they?
And now how did this whole Bearing Witness program go from an idea to reality?
Well, that's a really good question. About 11 years ago, the idea was born in the ADL regional office in Washington, D.C., there had been a lot of interfaith initiatives between the ADL and the Archdiocese of Washington. And this sort of almost evolved out of that long-standing relationship we had with the Archdiocese. And the idea then was to bring Catholic school educators from all across the United States in a program, and just like you outlined, that you know traces this course of relationship between the two communities over the centuries. And at that time, it was just a national program. And we did it once, and we had maybe 40-some teachers from across the United States apply, and that was it. Then we decided to regionalize. And since we have regionalized the program, which began in 2002, this thing has exploded. We really, as far as the ADL is concerned, we really can't keep up with it. There are too many dioceses and archdioceses across the country who want us to bring this program to them. We simply can't service them all. For example, we've already had, starting this year, the Diocese of Tucson and Phoenix had their program. Today, the Archdiocese of Chicago. Next week, we'll be in Miami. Following week, San Diego. Then we're in Israel. Then we come back. We're in Atlanta, Philadelphia, New York, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles.
That's quite a lineup you have.
Well, you consider the size of the school systems in those areas. You know, New York, you know, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, the large Catholic populations and the extent of the school system, how many people we're really reaching. So it's a program. I think one day ADL will probably have to assign a person full-time just for this program. This, as the director of the Institute, I'm in charge of these programs, but I do other things. This particular program is growing at such a rate, which is a great thing. We're just going to have to devote more time and resources to it.
Now, Paul, before we get into a break, you know, why should a Catholic school participate in this particular program?
Well, I depending on their curriculum, and again, they vary from place to place. What we think, and obviously what the Catholic schools think, because as I've talked about the increasing popularity of the offering, is this need to understand the close relationship that our two communities, the Jewish community and the Catholic community, have had. I think sometimes we focus on our disagreements, we focus on the things that keep us apart, when in fact, upon a closer examination, yes, okay, we've had our bumps in the road, there have been problems, no doubt about that. But actually, when you look at it theologically, especially theologically, how close we are to one another, I think this is brought out. This is something that's very, very, very compelling to Catholic school educators.
What we're going to do is we're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, and our guest is Paul Weiser, the director of the Anti-Defamation League's Braun Holocaust Institute, a 3-day program called Bearing Witness that begins today, tomorrow, Wednesday at Mundelein Seminary. Our phone number is 312-751-1979 here on Relevant Radio 820 AM in Chicago. And by the way, the bird in the background that you were hearing, I'm a bird watcher. That was a robin. Stay with us. Do not touch that dial.
To serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552. Or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Welcome to Mission Chicago 2007 as we celebrate the theme of spirituality. Evening missions are taking place throughout the Archdiocese in both English and Spanish. Spirituality themes include the meaning of being created in the image and likeness of God, exploring our potential for growth in Christ, and the spirituality of African-American music and song. These are single evening missions, and there is no cost. Find out when and where by going to www.missionchicago.net. That's www.missionchicago.net. It's Mission Chicago 2007, the year of spirituality. Accept this mission. The rewards are everlasting.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago on this beautiful Monday morning. And we are with Paul Weiser, the director of the Anti-Defamation League's Braun Holocaust Institute. And beginning today, there's a program called Bearing Witness. It's a high school faculty from the Archdiocese of Chicago will participate in this special three-day program today, tomorrow, Wednesday, that provides Catholic school educators with the training and resources necessary to teach about the historical relationship between Jewish and Catholic communities and the impact of that relationship on Catholic teaching, catechesis, and liturgy. And maybe, Paul, since we're not up at Mundelein Seminary for the three-day program, what are some of the specific workshops that are being offered?
Well, the presentations that are being written, in fact, right now, the program has just begun. The teachers are listening to a history of anti-Semitism. And this is really the first time. Now, many of these teachers do not have a real thorough background in this history. And this is where we really challenge them. Because, like I said before, what I alluded to before, sometimes in the history between these two communities, it's not always been a smooth road. And this is where they learned about some of those particular problems that arose between the church and the Jewish community. And they're being challenged now about, okay, here's what happened and what ramifications has this had. So the history of anti-Semitism would be one. The theological piece is quite strong when we have Father Dennis McManus, who works with the Holy See. You know, we have him flying in. He'll be presenting on Catholic hermeneutics. We have a rabbi coming in on Jewish hermeneutics. They will do a joint reading from the New Testament, looking at the scripture through Jewish lenses. Which is really just amazing. I've heard it, I don't know how many times, but it's just fantastic each time I hear it. The more the historical piece, we will have representatives from the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum coming in in presenting relative to guidelines in teaching Holocaust studies. There's some methodology pieces, and then I will be presenting more of an historical methodology on how to teach the Holocaust, as well as giving every participant, they get a free copy of what is called Echoes and Reflections, which is ADL's new Holocaust curriculum, which features a Holocaust testimony on every particular aspect of the of the Shoah.
Paul, let me ask you're going to be doing a workshop about teaching the Holocaust.
Yes.
Now, okay, give us, without giving us your entire lecture, okay, tell us something about teaching the Holocaust.
Well,
I find that fascinating because...
Okay, history of anti-Semitism in 5 minutes, okay.
Right, in 4 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Go.
Well, as far as teaching the Holocaust goes and where to begin, first of all, this is, in some states, I think Illinois is one who has a mandate to teach this. This is a growing field, and usually within the American school system, you usually find Holocaust education, Holocaust studies being taught through the language arts or English curriculum. Now, that might seem a little strange. People say, oh, it's going to history or social studies. Well, yeah, it's done there as well, but primarily in that particular setting, and I think it's done very well. I like that particular approach. There are certain guidelines that are published by the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum that we try to underscore, and any of our listeners who are thinking about teaching this, who are do teach this, I strongly encourage them to visit the museum site, ushmm.org, to check on those guidelines, because these are sound pedagogical methodology that set out relative to teaching it. In fact, oddly enough, you asked the question, I just got something, a message in my BlackBerry today about teachers who use simulations when they do this sort of work, and how, and we sort of campaign against that as pedagogically unsound. But as far as teaching it goes, again, what grade levels comes up, I'm skipping all over here, we suggest junior high and above. Anything below, you're not teaching the history of the Holocaust. You may be teaching about how people treat each other, and that's wonderful, and that's nice.
Paul, regarding teaching, I'm going to share this with you. About back in 2000, I had the privilege of walking through Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought just struck me when I heard that bird in the background as you're speaking.
Yeah.
And I want our listeners to hear this. I walked the entire grounds of Auschwitz for 2.5 hours back on an August day of night in 2000. And in the 2.5 hours, I did not hear or see one bird on the grounds of Auschwitz. Birds were flying everywhere on the outside as we took the bus ride to it, because it's out in the country. In the 2.5 or 3 hours that I walked the grounds, not one bird flew over Auschwitz. Not one bird landed on the grounds of Auschwitz. See, my mother knows I'm always bird watching. I'll drive the car, I'm looking for birds. I'm walking, I'm looking for birds. I did not hear one bird in 3 hours. It's almost like nature knew this was a place of death.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a special place. I'm fortunate that I get to take particular groups there and teaching sometimes college students. In fact, the time before last, I took Catholic school educators who are graduates of this program. We had a very, very special program where we took them to Poland. And one of the places I took them to was Auschwitz-Birkenau. So I can't testify to the birds not singing. That was your experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually pay attention to that as closely as you do. But it is a very, very special place.
It was an incredible,
incredible. And you can't capture it in words, because really Auschwitz is an emotion.
That's it. You cannot put in words. We have to move it to the end here. Paul, give us the website for the ADL.
Very easy. ADL.org.
Okay, ADL.org.
.org. It's updated every single day. And if you go to education, it's very easy. Everything is linked. The Brown Holocaust Institute is there, all the things that we do.
Well, I do want to say thank. We're going to bring this to a close. Paul Weiser, the director of the Anti-Defamation League's Braun Holocaust Institute, thank you very much for joining us here on Catholic Schools Today. And Paul's involved with a 3-day program called Bearing Witness being held at Mundelein Seminary. I want to also say a special thank you to our producer, Ryan Blackburn, along with Jasmine Kuros, and our engineer, Michael May, for their great work today, another tremendous program. To our listeners, God bless, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.